Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
So I have a simple passage, hopefully not too cheesy of an illustration, but I hope a profound truth that can guide you as you walk through this semester, whether you're a brand new student, whether you're a graduating senior, faculty, staff, all of us, just walking in Him. And so, very simply, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." It's one of those probably fairly familiar passages. You read it and you just kind of cruise on through it. But if you stop and meditate on it, it just pops you with the truth that is there. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. There's trouble going on, some mixed theology that's being taught in there. And so Paul's dealing with this conflict and he talks about this struggle that he has. And in the midst of that, we find this little passage. And I don't want to pull it too far out of context, but so I'm not. We'll just look at the word. So I want to start off with the very simple phrase, "just as you were taught." So that implies learning. We're all good students here. And so learning implies understanding, working, studying, practice. Learning to imply those things inside and getting to know those things. Why do you do that? Why do you study over and over? Why do you practice? I tried different things growing up. I tried piano. I hated it. I had a horrible, mean teacher. He was a massive man with massive hands. I was a young Yankee brat living in England. Still had my buzz hairdo from Atlanta, Georgia. And then this big proper English gentleman butchered me at the piano. I quit. I'm out. Then I tried the guitar. It hurt my fingers. I hated pressing those strings. So, being the man that I am, I quit. I quit three times trying to learn how to play the guitar. Every time I said, if that's what I got to deal with, I'm not going to deal with it. Soccer. Yes. I found my sweet spot. I had mean coaches. I had hard practices. I felt for the guys out there the other day, you know, that first game of the season, we were giving it all out there, and some of you left more on the field than you intended to. And so that was, I remember that. I remember those practices, those hard things. And then golf. My dad asked me if I would be interested in learning golf, and I'm like, yeah. And man, I loved it. But in learning golf, I got blisters all over my fingers and they hurt. Probably equal or worse than guitar. But I loved it. I stuck with it. So why did I stick with soccer and golf? Why do you practice those things that you are good at? Why do you walk around with your Greek flashcards and go over them and over them and you just call them out like that and that? How come you can stand out there and pump free throw after free throw or shoot threes all day long? Or you dribble around cones on the field in the heat, taking shots, passing over and over and over, learning how to trap, work on those fundamentals. Why do you do that? Number one, you love it. Just something about it resonated with you and you love it. Number two, you know that practice is just going to make you better. And you've gotten to that point where you want to be better. And then last, somewhere along the way, you just cared. It meant something to you. Somebody taught us, we cared, and we engaged. Here's the corny illustration part. So I mentioned golf. I still love golf. My boss doesn't let me leave enough to go play golf. He doesn't pay me enough to afford to go play golf. But nevertheless, these aren't the clubs that I started with. They're pretty new. If you'd ever seen a driver like this, back in 1969, when I started playing golf, they probably would have arrested you for having something this big. But here it is. Man. So the first phrase in our passage has absolutely nothing to do with the driver, but it will. Stick with me. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Use what you learned. You decided to play. You decided to engage with Christ. So play. Don't pansy around with it. Play the game. There is a statement made famous by John Daly that says what? Grip it and rip it. All right? So John Daly was this punk kid that showed up in the golf world. He was like the third alternate in a tournament, got the phone call like a couple days before the tournament started, showed up and won. And it was a major. And he had long blonde hair, he was chubby, he drank, and it was like the wrong guy to be winning tournaments. But that was his philosophy, grip it and rip it. So here it is. First of all, Paul starts off with this indicative statement. As you received Christ, you have received Christ. Now in the passage, they're talking about this theology. As you were taught, you know the truth. As you were taught, walk in that truth. I'd like to broaden that just a little bit to salvation in general. And this is where I'm taking a little liberty with the passage. As you received Christ, as you accepted him, get in the game. Walk in him. Take the driver out and say, all right, let's play. And so this driver that I have here, I'd love to hit a golf ball out there. That'd be so fun. When you tee off, there's this big wide fairway out there. And with this club, accuracy is important, but it's not guaranteed. This is the wildest club in the bag. And the harder you swing it, the greater your potential for error. But when you hit this thing off that first tee, you're in the game. You've engaged. And so you're going to play it. So let's move on to the second phrase here. Rooted and built up in him. So I used this club. I got out there in the fairway. And now I look and I see, whoa, there's a green up there. And that's kind of small. And I want to hit there. So maybe you didn't hit the best tee shot ever, but I'm committed. So maybe you don't have, when you first accepted Christ, maybe you didn't have the complete understanding of what it meant to walk in him. Yeah, I'll do this Jesus thing. I love that he died for my sins. That's awesome. I want to know him. I want to follow him. But then you get out there and you're like, oh, a relationship. I need to learn more about him. And so that target that you're looking at there begins to take some definition and it gets a little bit smaller. When I was 7, my dad started me playing golf, asked me if I was interested, and I said, yeah, I'd love to. So I met Simon. Simon was a young golf pro at the golf course there in England, and he took me in this shack with nets on all sides, and I hit hundreds, maybe thousands of golf balls into the net. But you know what? I had no idea where the golf ball was going. It just went 10 feet in front of me into a net and dropped down. And I'm like, let's go out and play golf. And he's like, no, we're going to work on this in here. You know why he was doing that? Because the most important thing was learning how to swing, not just get out there and pound the ball. If you play golf that way, you just go out there and smack the thing, it's going to be a frustrating game. And you're not going to like it, and you're probably not going to get that good at it. But Simon was like, you want to learn how to play golf? All right, here's what we're going to do. And so he stuck me in this shed, hitting these golf balls, one after the other, after the other, after the other. For 2 hours, we would do that some days. But Simon also taught me about some other clubs in the bag. So here's this driver, and there's some other woods that are there. But there are these irons that are there, and they're for specific purposes. And where you are on the golf course is determined what club you want to use next. So as I said, the driver is not the most accurate club in the bag, but it gets you out there. So he taught me about the irons. So you learned about God. Your understanding might have been limited, but now you understand there's more about this relationship. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about the love of God controls us. Because we understand this, that he died for us, he died for everybody. But we want to live for him now. And so we begin to realize, you know what? I'm going to jump in this game, but this game's not about me. This game's really about him. And as we understand and as we trust and give God more of ourselves, we see his love, we see his care, we see his forgiveness, we understand his grace deeper, and we want to engage even more. We get closer in that game, and we realize that target's closer, and I want to live for him. And so I take out, this is my 8-iron, so I'm 155 yards from the green, and I'm going to take this baby, and I'm going to... A lot more control, a lot more understanding of why I'm out there and why I'm playing the game. I am living for him in my relationship, not the other way around. That's the way we might start. But if we stay young in the faith, we keep thinking that there's some way that this is about me. But this scripture teaches us that it's about him. Smaller target. So we need to be rooted and built up in him, practicing the deeper things of God because it is about him. 1 Timothy 4, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so you arrive at a place like CIU and you open up the handbook and you're like, what? And we're saying, please don't take this as a checklist for your godliness. We're a community. We're all trying to be together in one purpose. And so these are things that we want you to abide by while you're here. And it's learning this wonderful thing, submission. Man, if you can't get down the practice of submission, how are you going to walk with Christ? Because every day he says, can I have that? Would you give that to me? Would you be willing to turn that over to me? I know you like that. I want that. And he says, would you submit? And the more we learn to submit to him, the greater we understand his love for us. And so the more that I would submit to Simon, and Simon would say, here, hit another small bucket. I'm like, what? I just want to go out there and bang the ball and walk around on a golf course. Would you let me do that? And he goes, no. I want you to discipline yourself so that when you get out there and you play, you can play well. So Simon and I spent time locked in this room, and he just worked on my swing. And so maybe during your time here, we're going to buck up against your personal beliefs and your privileges. We're going to say, can you check those just for a little while? We're not saying alcohol is a sin. We're just saying, can you hold off for a while? Can you focus on things here? But I'm a business major. I'm not going to the ministry. That's all right. You're taking Christ with you. And so these liberties that we have, we just want you to say, hang on, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And that's going to come from so many different ways beyond CIU, from employers, from Christ himself as you begin to study in him. So rooted and built up in him, and then established in the faith. So you hit the ball up on the green, and now you look, and across the green, there's this little tiny cup. And you're like, I'm supposed to get the ball in that? And so Simon says, hey, Rick, this thing's called a putter. They look all funky these days. They have all kinds. They were pretty simple back in the late 60s. But you know, with this club, there are more strokes gained and lost in a golf tournament than with any other club. If you watched golf this weekend, you saw Dustin Johnson sing a 16-footer on the 18th to force a playoff with Jordan Spieth. Then you saw him nail a wedge from 94 yards onto the first playoff hole and drop a little 3-footer with his putt to win a measly $1.5 million for 4 days' work. Why am I not still practicing golf? I don't know. But you know, you get up there on the green, you see that little hole, and in the spiritual illustration that we're working on, you realize there is one small target. Christ is everything. And that intimacy with him is what I am shooting for. And I need to be precise. I need to be in the truth. And I need to be established in the faith. Because that intimacy and that imitation of him that Dr. Jones walked us through last year, that is no joke. That's everything. That's what Christ is looking for, and that's the goal that he has for you. And the coolest thing about it all is all these instructions that Paul's talking about here, they're all in the passive voice. And for you Greek scholars out there, you're going, that's awesome! And everybody else is going like, so? The passive voice means that you're the one that's being acted upon. You're not the one doing the action. What that simply means for you and me is that the Spirit is in you. As you grow in that intimacy and imitation of Christ, the Spirit has more control over you to fill you with that grace, to help you be rooted, to help you be built up in Him, and to establish you in the faith. And you keep practicing that and practicing that, working on those disciplines, and you see God's grace bursting through, and there's this joy that's in there. So Simon lets me out of my cage, lets me get out and do some stuff and have some fun. 2 years later, 9 years old, I win the Gerrards Cross Country Club Junior Championship. And you know what I won? I got a golf ball and free lessons. How awesome is that? Hey, back of the box, Rick. So that's what I got out of. But the joy of winning that. And my dad, what an awesome man. Okay, it's supposed to go back in there. Took that golf ball home, carved this wooden block, drilled a little hole in it, stuck a tee in it, and put that golf ball on there. And that meant more to me than winning the tournament, because my dad was like, congratulations, son. Look what you did. And that relationship, that picture that I see from that is what Christ looks and sees in us. The spiritual focus is narrow, but game on. Paul, the Old Testament scholar, in Philippians 3, talks about his resume. And he said, forget it. Everything is lost for the purpose of following Christ. I want to follow him. That is it. All this other stuff that I could do out there, the driver, the irons, all that stuff is cool. But you know what? I want to put the ball into that little cup of intimacy and imitation of Christ. Dr. Smith, when he spoke convocation, talked about that life of prayer. What better way to grow in the imitation of Christ? But there's no greater vehicle for intimacy with Christ than prayer. Reading his word and then spending time communing with the Father. That's that little cup that we're all putting towards. And it's game on, folks. And then the last phrase in the passage, abounding in thanksgiving. Why are we abounding in thanksgiving? Because the Spirit is the one that's working that out in you. He says, check your effort at the door and rely on me and lean on me. A couple phrases in golf. One is, let the club do the work. You can get out there and you can swing as hard as you want to, but if your physics are off, that ball, man, sometimes I can hit a golf ball, it's like a right turn signal comes on that thing, and it just bends out there, and I slice that thing terrible. But if I swing slow and easy and pay attention to what I've been taught, I can pound that ball out there. Am I disciplining myself to stay focused? Am I practicing so that I make a difference? Arnold Palmer, who recently passed away, said this about golf. The more I practice, the luckier I get. Rely on Christ, not on personal effort. Luck might show its face from time to time in golf, but there's no luck in our walk with Christ because it's anchored in Him and powered by the Spirit. A life that's established in faith, rooted and built up in Him, is only possible by His grace. So a couple questions. Have you even picked up a club to get in the game? Or have you toyed with Christ and deceived yourself and said, yeah, whatever? I encourage you to get in the game, to say, Christ, I know you died for me, but I even know more than that, that I needed you to die for me. I am a sinner, and I need you. But maybe beyond that, you've gotten into the game, and you're living, gripping and ripping. It's your effort, and it's kind of willy-nilly out there, and you're saying, Lord, help me to get to know you better. I want to be a little bit more focused. I want to grow in that intimacy and imitation of you. And then, Lord, can I be of a single focus so that whatever I do when I'm at CIU, that I would be the best because you're walking right there with me. I know that I have one single purpose. And beyond that purpose, you'll guide me into what you want me to be. Whatever vocation it is, that if I'm walking with you, Lord, you will maximize me. And my testimony for you will abound. Don't drive for show, putt for dough. That's what it is. You can pound it off of the tee, but if you can't put it in the cup, there's nothing there. It's empty and hollow. So I don't know where you are on the golf course. I hope that that illustration wasn't too corny. But the simple truth is, where are you in walking with Him? Playing big games, relying on your effort, or are you focused on the cup? And say, Lord, you're going to help me. But I want the intimacy, and I want to imitate you in everything that I do. And relying on Him, the Spirit comes in and says, let's play. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for this incredible game of life that you've given to us. But beyond that, you have invited us into a relationship with you, to walk with you in intimacy and imitation. Lord, it's such an overused term here, but it's so true. Lord, we want to know you so that we can make you known. And it just happens naturally because of the grace that your Spirit pours out on us over and over because we live a life committed to you. Lord, help us to get in the game and to play it with all our heart, to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, that we would honor you above all other things, especially ourself. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.